Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This past summer, I went to the Museum of Contemporary Religious Art. It's located on St. Louis University campus. I went there with an artist from Washington University who was a student there. And when we walked into the museum, there to my left was this alcove with this piece of art, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. It was this huge piece of shattered safety glass. Now, because I was with an artist, I had to stifle my natural Philistine response. But since she's not here today, I can tell you what I thought. I thought, a shattered piece of safety glass. That's art. I could do that. In fact, I had done that. Three times I was in an auto accident. This is before airbags. Three times my head went into that windshield. Bam! I know you're thinking, now we know what happened. Three times I sat there dumbfounded looking at this shattered safety glass. And never once did I think I could hang that on a wall. I guess that's why I'm not an artist. But my friend, who is an artist, she led the way. She went into the alcove, and I could see the change on her face from curiosity to wonder. Because when you faced that safety glass, you could actually see through it. And what you saw was the most beautiful, peaceful blue. The artist had painted this vessel that was being filled, and there were these ripples coming out of the vessel so that wherever the shatters of that glass went, behind it was this peaceful blue. Shattering and peace joined together in one vessel. I thought of that experience when I read the text for this morning. Psalm 29 is filled with shattering and peace. And it's the psalm appointed for the baptism of our Lord Jesus. So what I would like to do this morning with you is I'd like to spend a little bit of time meditating on Psalm 29 and then contemplating the baptism of Jesus so that we might participate in his peace. So let's meditate on Psalm 29. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the psalmist says, right? And meditating on a psalm is kind of like that. You're tasting the psalm, you're chewing on that psalm, and you're discovering that God is good. Some psalms, I would say that they come to you like a piece of fruit that's been rolled in fine sugar. You bite into it, and immediately there's this burst of sweetness, and then as you chew, it gets more sweet and deep and complex. Some psalms are like that. Psalm 23, for example, the Lord is my shepherd. It starts out in an immediate burst of sweetness, and then as you chew, it gets more complex and more sweet. Some psalms are like a piece of fruit rolled in fine sugar. But Psalm 29 is not that kind of psalm. If Psalm 29 was rolled in anything, it would be shards of broken glass. You bite into it, and it cuts, and it hurts, and there is sweetness, but only with the faint taste of blood in your mouth. That's Psalm 29. It begins in the heavens, right? The angels are there singing the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. It begins in the heavens and it ends on the earth. When the psalmist says that this God brings peace to his people, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. That's the sweetness of the psalm. But to get that sweetness, you have to chew a lot of broken glass, because this psalm sees God as a storm that rages, a storm that shatters, a storm that breaks, a storm that can't be controlled. This is the God enthroned above the flood, right? The flood that annihilates humanity. That is this God. The psalmist sees this God like a storm cloud there out on the horizon, hovering over the waters of chaos. And then that cloud moves closer into the mountainous regions, the mountains of Lebanon. Now, this is where you got your wood, your good wood, wood that you use to build your ships, wood that you'd build your house with, wood that you would adorn your palaces with, wood that you use to carve out your safe little secure place in this world. These trees in Lebanon, they grew to be 130 feet tall and 8 feet wide. And the psalmist sees the voice of God go into the forest of Lebanon and strike the trees, not just cut them down, but shatter them. Shatter them to pieces, blast them to smithereens, and not just one, but all of them. So the psalmist, standing at a distance, sees the mountains of Lebanon, and it's like wild animals dancing on the hills. The thunder of God is tearing apart his creation. And then the storm cloud moves closer. It comes over the wilderness area, a barren wilderness where there's nothing to protect you. And what does the psalmist see? He sees cracks of fire coming into the sky, lightning. And then he sees the earth tremble, although he doesn't call it trembling. He calls it writhing like a woman in childbirth. Imagine that. Imagine that, a barren desert writhing in childbirth. Not only does it bear the sorrow of being barren, but it has to experience the curse of the pain of childbirth. You go through all of that pain and you come up with nothing. And if that isn't bad enough, you get the last image, where this cloud comes into the inhabited regions and it causes a deer to give birth prematurely, and it strips the forests bare. Have you ever seen a newborn deer? I did, out in West County, where they have trouble with deer population. It was out there on the edge of the yard, nestled in the grass at the edge of the wood, and it didn't move for hours. I thought something was wrong with it. I thought it was sick. I thought maybe it was dead. I called the Missouri Department of Conservation. They said that this is what deer do. Newborn fawns will lie motionless in one place for weeks as the mother returns and feeds them, and they gain strength. And they said, don't go over there. Don't go near the shelter, for the mother might not return. That fawn is safe in that shelter and gaining strength. What God's voice does is it causes a deer to give birth prematurely. And when that fawn is there, immovable, it strips away the forest so there's nothing that can hide it. It is vulnerable and subject to any enemy that would come along. And when you see that, all of a sudden the heavens open and you're in the temple and the angels are crying out, glory. Glory to God who is enthroned over the flood of his wrath. And he will be there forever. No one will ever displace this God. And at that moment, the psalmist says, this God gives you strength. This God will bless his people with peace. Shattering and peace gathered in that moment. This is the psalm appointed for the baptism of Jesus. And I think it's appropriate. Jesus' baptism, it wasn't like ours. It wasn't a nice, joyful, happy experience where we were all dressed up and gathered around the font. No, this baptism was filled with fear and pain and a confession of sins as a baptism for the repentance of sins. John was out there in the desert shattering things. He had seen this God of the storm who was coming, and he was calling people to repent. Right, this God would come with an axe in his hand and lay it at the root of the trees. He'd come with a threshing fork, and we would clear out the threshing floor and burn the chaff with fire. And if you have sin, if you are frightened of this God, then get your butt in the water. That's what John was saying. Get in the water, for the wrath of this God is coming. And then we see Jesus. No axe, no winnowing fork. All he has is our flesh that he has taken from us. And he takes that as his instrument, and he gets into the waters. This God of the waters of wrath rules not above them, but in them. Jesus enters into the waters to fully identify with us in our sin, that we might fully experience the peace that he brings. He takes the wrath of God so that there is nothing to be afraid of. There is no life so shattered. There is no person so shaken, there is no sin so shameful that Jesus can't bring his peace. And like that vessel in that painting, he stands there in the water and he's filled with this Spirit. And that Spirit works through him to reach to the edges of this world. That Spirit takes him from the water to the desert, from the desert to the mountains, and from the mountains outside the city to a cross, where like an animal prematurely born, he hangs there, vulnerable, stripped, naked, able to be killed by his enemies, and bears the wrath of God for you. So that you know that God may not take out of your life in this world all suffering, but he will fill it with his presence. And in that is your strength and your peace. I wish I had known that when I was a student here. It would have made my hospital visits so much easier. I remember those first hospital visits. They were hard. I'd walk down that hospital corridor, I'd have this knot in my stomach, my hands would be sweating, I'd be holding on to my Bible, and I would be going in my mind over every verse I was going to say, and every prayer I was going to make. And then I'd turn the corner and I'd see her face. This woman whose life had been shattered. And I'd wonder if this was enough. I wish I had known that God was already there. He fills shattered lives with his Spirit. I remember one visitation I made as a student. It was in the institutional field module. I was assigned to the St. Louis City Jail, and I had a cell block. We'd walk along the cell block, and we worked under this man named Reverend Bynes. And we would do our visitations, and then every other week we'd do these verbatims. You'd have to write down everything that was said, and then you'd take it to this group, and everybody would process it. I hated the verbatims. I hated them. Right? And I hated them partly because I didn't like to write them out, but partly because of the people in the group. You see, it wasn't just seminarians from this seminary. It was seminarians from all sorts of seminaries across St. Louis. And there was one guy from one seminary that I really disagreed with. I remember one of his verbatims where a guy had asked him if he believed in hell, and his answer was, no, hell is just something that the church made up in order to gain power over people. Oh, that made me angry. Right, so one day I'm doing my visitation, right? So I'm walking down the cell block, and this guy in the cell calls me over and asks me to talk. So I look at him through the cell bars, right? A man whose life has been shattered. And he says, do you believe in hell? And I said, yeah, I believe in hell, and I believe in Jesus who rescued me from it. And he smiled, and he said, good. And then he started to tell me about a pastor who had visited and told him there wasn't any hell. And I don't know if it was this guy, but I remembered that verbatim, and I just let loose. Right, I said, well, what on earth is he doing? Why is he even going into the ministry? What does he mean, coming in here, telling you stuff? And I just started going on, and I saw this man's face change and suddenly take on a profound sense of sadness as he looked down and started shaking his head. And I said, what? And he said, I didn't tell you this to make you angry. I just thought we could pray for him. He needs to grow in his faith. It was like an accident. Bam! My self-righteousness was just shattered. And as I looked through that glass, I saw this vessel of God filled with the Spirit inviting me in Jesus' mission of peace. The baptism of Jesus means there is no life so shattered, no person so shaken, no sin so shameful, not even your own, that Jesus isn't present and bringing his peace. And when you taste that sweetness and have that faint trickle of blood in your mouth, look up. Because the angels are throwing themselves before the throne, and all creation is rejoicing, singing out, glory, glory to God in the highest, who shatters human sin. Glory to God, who in Jesus brings peace to his people on earth. Amen.